We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
He is ministering to. So number one, I want you to know, he's got a heart for God, and he's got a heart for his church. I think that deserves a hand clap. We honor that. So, today, do you have a heart for God today? Because he's going to be bringing you the Word of God, all right? And then I want you to have a heart for my preacher right here. Everybody say, preach, preacher.
Preach, preacher.
Have a heart for this guy. When he says something that's on the money, then you let him know that's on the money. You say, here's, we'll practice a little bit. Facebook, you can practice with us too. Everybody said, amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Tell it.
Well,
you're not all wrong, all right? I mean, any of these things. Yeah. But here's the deal. You preach with this guy because we are totally behind this guy. We trust this guy, and we love this guy. And before today's over, it's all about Jesus. So
Amen.
You come to this altar and talk to God, all right?
Amen.
I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Shelton. Lord, we thank you for the word that you put in him. Lord, we're so thankful for what he means to your church. Use him for your glory, God, and flow in this house, God. Let your will be done. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Who loves our pastor? Let's give it up for Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris is awesome. How about Pastor Marshall? He had a kid this week. Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Marshall as well. These are amazing leaders that we have at this church, and I'm blessed to have them in my life, and I hope you feel the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so Pastor Chris was right. I'm not, I'm what you would call a hollaback preacher, and so if I say something like you said, come on, let me hear you agree with me. Amen?
Amen?
He did it with you, and so let's do it together. Hey, Brother Ron does a really good thing where he goes, well, or he does, or something like that. So if you feel like you need to do that, or you agree with me, just go ahead and do it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen is not wrong to say, too. So if I say amen, then you go,
amen.
All right, cool, very cool. All right, so I am the youth pastor here at Redemption Church, and it is awesome to serve at this church. It's awesome to attend this church. Amen?
Amen.
All right, and so I serve as a youth pastor in New Life Student Ministry with my beautiful wife right there. And so, yeah, that's awesome. Give it up for her. Yeah, she's my cutie. And, yeah, it's been great serving here at the church. And in youth ministry, we like to have fun. So, and I just wanted to say, you know, it's an honor to preach here, Pastor Chris. It's an honor to be on this stage. And typically, when you come onto a stage to preach, you know, you got to take it seriously. And so most of the time, people come in a blazer, come in slacks or whatever like that. And I'm African, so you know, for real, we had to do that. And so even my mom was like, really, where's your jacket today? You know, and she was like, why are you wearing a cap today? But is it okay if I preach to you comfortably? Can I preach to you? Can you guys be comfortable with me being comfortable?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We're going to have fun. I like to tell a joke every time I preach, so if you find it funny, laugh, all right? It's a it's a Christian joke. You know, youth pastors got to come up with stuff like this. So hopefully you guys catch it. It's a little bit, I wouldn't say this at the youth group, but hopefully you guys catch it. So here's a joke. Here's a question. Who was the greatest financier of the Bible? You don't know? You don't know? Jonah, because he was floating his stock whilst everyone was in liquidation. Did you get it? Get it? No? No, Noah, I'm sorry. I said Jonah. Noah. I'm sorry. All right. Here's one more, because I butchered the other one. All right. All right. Why didn't Noah go fishing? Because he only had two fish. I'm sorry, he had two worms. You get it? We only have two worms. All right, we're done with that. Can you pull out your Bibles, please? Pull out your Bibles if you have your iPhone, you have your Bible, your BB. He's dying over there. All right. Killing the pastor. All right. Pull out your Bibles to Luke 5:11. No. Luke 5:11. All right, as you scroll there, you know, I love to get the youth Bibles because as a youth pastor, sometimes I get worried that they're on their phones playing on Facebook or something. So we bought them Bibles, and so it's okay. I won't get worried if you're on Facebook today. I know you're looking at your Bible. And so, all right, Luke 5, we're going to do a little bit of reading here real quick. Luke 5:11. Are you there? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read on. Here we go. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw the boat by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting onto one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught people from the boat. And when he had finished, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your will, at your word, I will let down the nets." He said, "At your will, at your word, I'll let down the nets." And they had not. And when they had done this, then enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled their other partners in other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell to his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner, O Lord." And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish and they had taken. And so also were James, John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. All right, we're just going to stop there. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we'd like to thank you today for this word. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're about to download into our spirits, into our hearts. Lord God, we pray, God, this may be applicable in our lives, Lord Father God, that it may be practical in our lives, but it may set on good soil today, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, so we're looking at the story here. We're looking at the story, and we see a few things that we can learn from this story. We see people hungry for the word of God. It says they came in multitudes. They came in multitudes, and they're wanting to hear the word of God from Jesus. And the Bible says they're pressing about him, and Jesus had to get into a boat to put a little bit of distance from him and them. Can you imagine that? That you are seeking Jesus so much that he's like, "Oh, hold on, come on. Brentley, that's too much. You're coming after me too much. Stop." But this is what they were doing. They're coming towards him. Let me ask you this question. Have you been seeking after God that much, that God sees you and he fills your heart that you really want to be with him? Yeah. Come on. Are we willing to do whatever it takes to hear from him? We see people showing up in multitudes just to hear the word of God. Now, I think what's pretty awesome about our church is that we see people coming from all parts of the Metroplex just to hear the word of God. So I think our church is hungry. Isn't that true? Yeah. We have people from Mansfield driving here. We have people from McKinney coming from Duncanville. We have people from, we had a family that came here last week from Hearst. We have people that flew in from England. I'm just kidding. My aunt's here. yeah, they're hungry for the word. And I think that's pretty awesome. Are you willing to let Jesus into your boat? We see here that we know that Simon Peter was a fisherman. That was his occupation. That's what he did. And he had been fishing all night the night before, caught nothing. And then Jesus comes in with a need and says, "Hey, I need to speak to my people. Can I come in to your boat?" Essentially, when Simon Peter said yes, he was letting Jesus into his life. A lot of the times, Jesus comes into our lives in ways that we don't expect. He's asking to speak to his people. He's asking to speak to you. Are you willing to let him come in to your boat? You see, by feeling the need that Jesus had, he allowed Jesus into his life, and that radically changed his life and his circumstance. We'll unpack that a little bit more later on. Let's look at the story a little bit more. We see after that Jesus had finished speaking to the people, and then he turns to Simon Peter and says, "Let's let out into the deep." Jesus didn't say, "All right, brother, I'm done. Thank you. I'm out. Thank you for your services. Thank you for your boat." Can I encourage you with this? Jesus doesn't use us and discard us after he's done. Can I encourage you with this? He doesn't use us and turn his back on us like a family member that you confided in and hurt you. He doesn't use us and walk away like that last boyfriend or girlfriend that you're with, but he stays and he loves us and he comforts us in every circumstance. That's something to clap about. That's something to be happy about. That's our God. But you see, he turns to Simon Peter and tells him, "Launch out into the deep and let the nets out." But Simon turns to Jesus and said to him, you know, Simon Peter could have said, "You know, I've been at this all night." And he did say that. "I've been toiling all night. I've been struggling at this all night. Are you a fisherman? Do you know what you're talking about?" Because that would have been his strength. It's what he knew. It's what he did. But he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the nets." Come on. I mean, that's on faith right there. He just met this guy who showed up at the shore and said, "Can I get on your boat?" And he gets on the boat. Simon Peter turns to Jesus. Simon Peter was operating in something we like to call faith in Jesus. He put his faith and hope in a man that he just met. He didn't know Jesus was a master fisherman, but supposedly he was, right? But we see faith over experience in this moment. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was a fisherman, but he put his faith before what he knew. And he knew that last night, there were no fish. But Jesus said, "Do it." And he's like, "Okay, I'll trust you. I'll put my faith in you." Faith in Jesus trumps any experience that you have, because nothing is impossible with Jesus. Isn't that right? Yeah, it is. You know, Hebrews 11:9 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." Church, we got to have faith, because faith is a substance and is the very thing that we're hoping for. Faith without hope is wrong. Simon was hoping to catch fish, so he exercised his faith in Jesus by letting out the net. We all need to have hope. We can't live without hope. It's easy to. It's said that a man can live a month without food. He can survive a couple of days without water. He can survive a couple of minutes without air. But it's said a man cannot live one moment without hope. And so your very existence right now means that you have hope right now. You have hope right now. And hope is not some wishful thinking in the future of, "Oh, I hope I get that." Hope is not optimism. Optimism is a psychological thing, but hope is a person. Optimism is personal trust in yourself, whereas hope is trust in Jesus, putting your faith in Jesus. Optimism is what you think you can do. Too many of the times we show up and we do things in our own strength. But when you put your hope and your trust in Jesus, you know what he can do.
All right. Yeah.
And he follows through. He comes through.
Amen.
Optimism is often denial of reality. We lie to ourselves saying, "I can do this," when in reality, you probably can't. It's a struggle. But hope. You see, optimism is denial of reality. It's positive thinking, not permanent trust. Hope is always reality. Hope says there's nothing impossible with Jesus. Everyone needs hope, and everyone needs to operate by faith. Some of us have had a year like Simon Peter had the night before, where we've worked hard, we've done everything that we could do, and things just don't seem to be going our way. Things are just... "Oh, what's you like, God? Where are you? Like, what's going on?" And you know, it would be easy for us to turn in the towel and give up. But even those that lost their lives in the Bible kept their faith.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at Paul. Paul even lost his life, but he kept his faith. He had an eternal hope after that.
Yeah.
Everybody in the Bible had to operate by faith. Moses saw a burning bush. He saw the miracles of Egypt. But somewhere in his life, he had to operate by faith. I mean, he knew. He was told what was going to happen, right? God told him what was going to happen. But even in that, I mean, what does this do, putting up a staff over a Red Sea? What do you think? Like, I could go there and do that. But he had to operate by faith that God said, do it, and I do it, and the Red Sea parted. Everybody has to operate by faith. Eve. Let's look at Eve. She walked with God. She saw God's handiwork in the Garden of Eden. But she had to operate by faith. And she had to believe that she had to believe in the promise of the Son by faith. We have this book in our hands. Who's got their Bibles? Their BBBs. I love to call them BBBs, big black Bibles. It's brown, but big brown Bibles. There you go. We have these books in our hands, and we have tasted and seen the goodness of God. Some of us have been filled by the Spirit of God, the presence of God. And you know God is real. You have no question. There's no doubt in your mind that God is real. But then you still have to operate by faith because there's some circumstances in your life that you're like, I can't do this. I have to trust God in this. I have to put my faith in it. It's not a loss when the only thing you have to hold on to in life in a situation is your faith. It's really not a loss because your faith can withstand anything if your faith is in Jesus.
Yeah.
We feel like it is sometimes because we're like, God, I don't want faith. I need a job. That's what I need. God, I don't want faith. I need a new car, right? I need to get to work. God, I don't want faith. I need you to fix my marriage. What's going on? Come on. God, I don't want faith. I'm sick. I need you to touch and heal me. So do it, please. We don't want to operate by faith. You can fill in the blank on God, I don't want to operate by faith. And you know, sometimes that's understandable because life gets hard sometimes. But we gotta have faith even if things don't go the way that we expect them to go. Faith in Jesus, the hope we have in Jesus is better than any next promotion that you have. It's better than the next relationship that you're going to. It's better than the next, whatever it might be, the next car that you have. It is better. Yep, it is. And we got to believe that. We really got to believe. We got to live it out. We got to walk it out. You know, when Ann and I first started dating, it was about 4 years, 363 days ago. Yeah? 64? Let's see. Yeah, I was close. I was close. I was close. 364 days ago. But we were at my parents' house. And every year before we go into the new year, we at the Mono residence, we get together at about 10, 11 p.m. at night, and we worship into the new year. And it so happened that Anne was there that year for my sister's birthday. We were not dating yet, but we kind of liked each other. I mean, look at her. She was cute. She is cute. So I was like, okay. And so at that time, we were worshiping. We worshiped into the new year. And after that, people kind of like dispersed into the, you know, to whatever they were doing. Okay, let's back home. All right. Amen. That pastor knows what it's about. And so we were worshiping, and everyone kind of dispersed into whatever they're doing afterwards. And at that time I was at CF and I was one of those kids, oh man, I got to have more Jesus, more Jesus, more Jesus. So I stayed at that keyboard and I said, God, what do you have for me next year? What do you want me to do next year? God, I need a girlfriend. Make it happen. I was 22. What can I say? But in that moment, it's not like I asked God and God was like, he was just downloading into me some of the things that he had in store for me that year and how much he loved me. And clear as day, I feel like I heard the Lord tell me that she would be my wife. And I didn't want to be that Christian dude that went up to the girl and was like, hey, what's up, girl? You know what it is. God told me you will be my wife, so let's get with it. No, I was not going to do that. But, you know, I know that I heard God speak to me that day. And, you know, I fought it because there was a lot of things that were against us. There was distance. There was how do we communicate every day. If we did that in our own strength, we were not going to survive the 4 years we dated and then the last year that we've been married. But we decided right from the start that we were going to dedicate our relationship to God, put our faith into Jesus, put our hope into Jesus. And so I'm going a little bit fast, but that night I fought, but I kind of took the stance of Simon Peter here, and I said, all right, God, if she's going to be my wife, okay, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to work. I like her, but I don't know how it's going to work. And so actually, the first, January 1st, 2013, I didn't tell her for a whole day because I didn't know how to tell her. How do you tell a girl that God spoke to you that you're going to be my wife? There's no good way to do it. And so I fought it for the whole day, and then eventually I just mustered up the courage the next day on the 2nd, and I told her. I was like, hey, listen, I like you, and I kind of asked it out, and she was like, you know what? You don't know how long I've been waiting for you to say that. I was like, God, what's going on? All right, so you are faithful. But the whole point of that story is this, guys. I had to take the stance of Simon Peter, and I had to trust God that he knew what he had in store for me, and he had in store for us. And here we are, 4 years, 365 days, 64? 64 days into it, and I believe that we're stronger than ever, and I know that God is still in the center of our relationship, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that situation is. For us, there's a lot of things, but the example in this circumstance is our marriage. It might be a job for you. It might be whatever it might be. It might be your next relationship. It might be your next job or car or whatever it might be. But you just have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Amen? So let's look at Simon Peter again a little bit more. He's like, Simon put his faith in Jesus, and the word of God was his hope. The word of Jesus was his hope, and it was a blessing in the end to him. And not only to him, they had to call other people. Like, when God blesses you, he just doesn't bless you just, oh, there you go, there's a little bit. It overflows. It overflows to your friends. It overflows to your family. It overflows to those around you. And so when you are obedient to God, I believe our marriage is a blessing to a lot of people. It doesn't matter what people think. I believe it, and I believe that God has said that. And so it's not, when you are obedient to God and when you put your faith in him, it's a blessing not only to you but to others around. And Ephesians 3:20 tells us that, because it says, now him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us, he's put it in us. He's put it in us. There's a word that says, faith without works is dead. And so when you put your faith and trust in Jesus and he tells you what to do, that thing is not going to die. It's not dead because you are applying the faith that you have. So we're here at the end of 2017, and this has been a tough year for some of us. It might have been a great year for some of you, but regardless of whatever you've been going through, Jesus is here at this altar. Yeah? The Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he's here. The Bible, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If we need hope, look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith, and faith is a substance of everything that you're hoping for. So why wouldn't you do it? It's not fake. It's actual substance. It's something that you can take to the bank. It's something real. You've got a faith and a hope that is greater than any problem that you have. So let's operate from that this coming year. Let's operate from faith. Let's operate from hope this year. Do you believe that there's a substance at this altar today? Come on, church. Do you believe there's a substance of faith at this altar today.
Believe it.
Substance is something real. It is. It's something you can hold on to. It's something that you can stand on. It's something that you can lift up and people are amazed by. Every time I tell our story, people are amazed by it. God did that. I didn't do that. Because I could have, in my own flesh, been like, you know what, this is too hard. I'm out. But substance was brought into that relationship. There's substance at this altar today. And as I welcome the worship team up here, there's substance at this altar today, and it's called faith. It's called hope, and it's here because Jesus is in this room today. We would stand. Would you please stand with me here real quick? I'm about to ask you to talk to Jesus, to come and talk to Jesus. The Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we need to have a stance like Simon Peter had, where he realized who was on the boat with him. He realized that his provider was on the boat right there with him. He realized the hope of glory was on the boat with him. And he ran, he knelt at his feet, and he just confessed his sins. I'm a sinner, Lord. And Jesus touched him. Jesus said, it's okay. Just come with me. You're no longer a fisher of fish. You're going to become a fisher of men. So when Jesus comes, and he's here. He's here right now. He's at this altar right now because he's real. Hope and faith is real, and it's right here. And so when you put your faith, when you come up here today, don't come up here looking for a pretty prayer, because what Simon Peter did here was not pretty. He ran, he knelt, and he was pleading to the Lord and say, God, depart from me, for I'm a sinner. And yeah, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but his grace is more than enough for us, amen? And so as we come up here, and I've opened up the altars here, we do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Everybody worships, everybody receives the word of God, and we've received the word of God, but everybody talks to God. This is your moment to open up your heart, to put your faith, your hope, your trust in Jesus Christ. This is your moment to say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own anymore. I can't do it on my own strength anymore. Lord Jesus, God, it's too hard. Every time I do it on my own, it doesn't work out right. Every time I do it on my own, things seem to break. But I'm going to put my faith, my trust, I put my hope that next year I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get that I have faith that I will get that, whatever it might be. Lord, I'm praying for a relationship that goes beyond who I am, God, but you, God, and the center of it all. And so as we come to the altar today, as we talk to God, as we worship God, just have a stance like Simon Peter did of, God, I'm here to put my faith, my trust, and my hope in you, because it's not a loss when the only thing I'm standing on is my faith in you, Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.